The scripture reading this evening is taken from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 10, beginning to read with verse 32. Hebrews 10, from verse 32 to chapter 11, verse 7. We're going to look at this theme, what is true faith? So from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 32 to 11, verse 7. But recall the former days when, after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. So far, the reading of the Word of God. Now, I would like to read Lord's Day 7 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Will all men then be saved through Christ as they are lost, became lost through Adam? And the answer is no. Only those who by true faith are incorporated or engrafted into Christ and accept all his benefits. What is true faith? It is not only a certain knowledge by which I accept as true all that God has revealed to us in his word, but also a wholehearted trust or confidence which the Holy Spirit creates in me through the gospel, that not only to others but to me also God has given the forgiveness of sins, everlasting righteousness, and salvation, out of sheer grace, solely for the sake of Christ's saving work. What then must a Christian believe? All that is promised in us in the gospel. a summary of which is taught us in the articles of the Apostles' Creed, our universally acknowledged confession of faith, which we confessed earlier this evening. Before we open this wonderful truth of God, let us seek His guidance in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank You that You are the author and finisher of our faith. And we pray, Lord, that we may truly have that true saving faith, that our children may have it, and that we may know that the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave His life on Calvary, gave it for us, gave it for me, and each of us can say that. Lord, bless us now this evening, and may the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in Your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus Christ we pray, amen. The book of Hebrews was written to people who had really begun in their Christian faith. They were Jewish people, very likely living in Rome. We don't really know exactly who wrote Hebrews, but we know it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And as you can tell from the scripture that I read, the people to whom this book was written had gone through some really hard times. They had gone through tremendous suffering, and it was due to their faith. As the writer to the Hebrews says, you recall the former days after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with suffering. And then he mentions some of the suffering that they went through, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion to those in prison. There were those who were in prison because of their faith. And not only in prison, but you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property. Can you imagine that? We call it real estate, don't we? It's real estate. It's something which we have. Who can take it away? And yet that's what happened here. They joyfully accepted the confiscation and plundering of their property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. And that better possession and that abiding one was heaven itself. For as Jesus said, and Paul says, and others in the Bible said, we are not in a home that's permanent here. We have no abiding city, but we look for the city that is to come, whose builder and maker is God. That holy city which is coming. And so the author of the Hebrews says to them, you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. This was the situation. They had a good beginning, but because of the difficulties and struggles and suffering and persecution, some of them threw in the towel and said, no, it's not for me anymore. It's not worth it. And so they gave up. They gave up their faith. And the author to the Hebrews says, now don't do that. Don't do that. Don't give up what you had and what you have in Christ. Don't give it up. But you've got to continue. You've got to endure. And so he says, strengthen the weak hands and strengthen the feeble knees. Because you have to look at all these troubles as discipline from the Lord. It's discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. He loves you. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. So we're going to look at true faith tonight. True faith does not give up. As the apostle to the Hebrews says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Faith doesn't lay hold on what is seen. No, it holds on what is not seen. Do you know why? Because we walk by faith and not by sight. This past Friday, we had the funeral of Matthew Mast. Isn't it wonderful that we don't walk by sight? If we only walked by sight, and if we only had confidence in what we saw, there would be a corpse. There would be lovely flowers. There would be a casket. That's what we saw. But we don't walk by sight. There's so much more. There's a soul of that young man who was translated. That soul came out of that body so racked in disformity. That soul came out. The Lord took him to himself. And that's what we see by faith. And that's why we have to walk by faith and not by sight. Because what is seen is temporary and temporal. But what is unseen is eternal. We walk by faith. And so the author to the Hebrews is saying, now listen, don't give up on that faith. Don't give up on Jesus Christ. Don't give up on the gospel. Because that's what really lasts. That's what is real estate. If you have Him, if you have Jesus, you've got everything. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. It's not a foundation. It's not solid. It won't hold you. Not for a minute. It won't hold you. But Christ is the rock, and on this rock we stand. And so let's look at true faith. What is true faith? Well, it's the conviction. It's the assurance of things not seen, and it's the assurance or the conviction of things not seen. It deals with that which is not seen. It is not something you can put into a test tube. You cannot put it under an x-ray. Faith is not something that's seen. And that's why it is hard for some people to grasp this. They only will accept what they can see. That was the problem with the Sadducees in Jesus' day and in the days of the early church. The Sadducees only accepted what they could see. They were strict materialists. They only accepted what they could see and touch and measure and weigh. That they accepted. But that which they could not see, that which they could not measure, that which they could not weigh, they didn't accept. They said it doesn't exist. That's nonsense. And there are a lot of people today who agree with that. who will not accept what they cannot see, who will not accept what cannot be measured, weighed. They won't accept it. They will just say it doesn't exist. And so these people say that God doesn't exist. To be pitied. You see, those folks, even though they don't believe, they have an immortal soul. Can't see that either. You can't put it under an X-ray and see a soul. No. It is spiritual. But that's not only the only thing that's spiritual. Love is spiritual too. You can't actually measure love. That is a quality of God. God is love. We may experience love, but you can't actually weigh it. You cannot put it into a jar. It's a matter of faith. We believe that God exists. This is how the people in the old days lived. The people that the author to the Hebrews is talking about in Hebrews 11, which is like the hall of fame. The hall of fame of faith. Abel, Enoch. Enoch walked with God. You couldn't measure that either. But all of a sudden he wasn't around anymore. And he didn't die because God took him. And here's Noah. Noah walked by faith. And he was living with his three sons and their wives in an area which was not an ocean, it was dry land. It was desert. And God told Noah to build an ark because there was going to be judgment coming. Because the imagination of everybody's heart in that day was only evil continually, and God repented that he even made man. Read of that in Genesis 6. And Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And God said to Noah, you build an ark because there's a flood coming, and that flood is going to destroy the earth and everything in it. And I want you to be saved. I want you to be preserved. Not only you, but animals, creatures which I have made, birds, and creeping things, and wild beasts, and tame beasts, cows and horses. I want them all representative of the entire created world. I want to save them, and I'm going to make an ark. Now, some of our folks have been down to northern Kentucky and have seen a replica of the ark. It's built to the exact dimensions that are given in the Word of God. I mean, it's an awesome sight. I haven't been there. Lori and I plan to go sometime. But I saw the picture of it in the Grand Rapids Press. I mean, it is a huge boat built on dry land. Not a sign of water around. And you read that Noah built this with his sons. Took them 120 years to build that ark. And the people around that community must have thought he was out of his mind. And they mocked him. And they said, talk about a fool building an ark on the sand. What do you think is going to happen? Well, Noah preached righteousness for 120 years and said, repent, for judgment is coming. And then, animals began to come out of the woods, two by two. After the ark was finished, here they came. Male and female tiger comes out of the woods, right up the gangplank into the ark. Not driven by anybody, but the Lord. The Lord was drawing them in. There was male and female elephant coming out of the woods and up the gangplank and into the ark. And there was a male and female eagle flying and then flying right into the ark. And all of God's creation, representatives of all the animals and birds, there they came into the ark. That must have gotten the attention of the neighborhood. They must have thought, what is going on? And all of a sudden, the Lord shut the door. Noah and his family were inside. Why did Noah do all this? Did he have a weather report based on scientific meteorology that it's going to be a deluge, a flood coming? No, he didn't. But he had the Lord's word. A flood is coming. And by faith, Noah believed God. And he knew that this God is the true God. And he believed in Him and accepted His word and began to build the ark. And now that whole ark is done. And the door is shut. And the rain begins to come. And the water came up from below and the water came down from above. And it covered the earth. And the ark itself began to float. And here the ark was floating on this massive deluge of water. It was floating. God is real. And the author to the Hebrews says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. But he that comes to God must believe two things, that God exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. If a person doesn't believe that God exists, he will perish in his sin and he will meet the Lord. He will meet the Lord someday. But it will be too late. The door will be shut. Oh, the Lord's word comes and says, repent before that day comes. Come to the Savior now. All you who have wandered far, you who think that there is no God, that none of this makes any sense at all, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Now, what is true faith? True faith is first of all a matter of knowledge. True knowledge. True knowledge from which, where, from the Word of God, that is the source of the knowledge. Faith is built on that knowledge, but not just knowledge. It's important to have that knowledge, but it's much more than that, because James says, the devils, Satan, have that knowledge. They have knowledge, but they reject it. So we have to have knowledge. We've got to have true knowledge, but we've got to have more than knowledge. We've got to have confidence and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must love the Lord and trust in Him with all our heart. The Catechism summarizes it so beautifully. True faith is not only a certain knowledge by which I accept as true all that God has revealed to us in His Word. That's where it comes from. But it's also a wholehearted trust that the Holy Spirit creates in me through the gospel. So the gospel, the Word of God, is not only the content of our faith, but it's also the means by which we receive faith. We receive faith through the Word of God. Remember how Paul says that? Now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. He also said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, but how shall they call on Him of whom they haven't heard? They can't. And how will they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they're sent? As it is written in Romans 10, verse 14, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. It's the Word of God which is not only the content of our faith, but it's also the means by which we receive faith. As you read in Lydia, this is in Acts 16, 14. Lydia, a businesswoman, a seller of purple from Thyatira, but she was in Philippi. She was on a business journey. She was a very upstanding woman. Lydia, seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, heard us. She was by the riverside in Philippi when Paul and Timothy and Luke and Silas came to Philippi. And they heard about this group of people praying and worshiping along the riverside. So they joined them. And Paul began to speak. And you read about this Lydia from the city of Thyatira, seller of purple, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened to believe what Paul was saying. You see, the Word of God that Paul was preaching there along the riverside in Philippi was the Word that triggered in Lydia that faith. It was the Holy Spirit that opened her heart. It is the Holy Spirit who accompanies His Word. And it is only the Holy Spirit that does it. We pray before we come to church. I can say I do for sure. I pray before I preach. I pray, Lord, with Your Holy Spirit, work through that gospel, through that Word, and build our faith and create that faith and make us to believe all the Word which You have given unto us. That faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of the Lord. It's all of grace. Remember how Paul says this so clearly in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. We are saved by grace. That's how. It's the source. It's grace, and it's of the Holy Spirit. We are saved by grace through faith. That's the means by which we receive this. You see, not all people are saved by Christ, through Christ, as they were lost in Adam. No, only those who by true faith are grafted into Jesus Christ. We are incorporated into Him. Remember how it says it in the form of baptism. When we are baptized into the name of the Son, God the Son witnesses and seals unto us that He washes us from all our sins and incorporates us into the fellowship of His death and His resurrection. The Holy Spirit and Christ incorporated, they graft us into Him. You know, grafting is quite an amazing thing. You may have seen apple trees. Some of the apples are red, some of them are yellow from the same tree. It's because the yellow delicious was grafted onto the red delicious tree. I spent almost a year in Ripon, California. And the main crop in Ripon and the environs of Modesto and so on, the main crop is almonds. They say almonds. Now, do you know that every one of those almond trees, and there's fields and fields and fields and fields of beautiful orchards of almond trees. Every one of those almond trees is the result of a graft. When the almond tree was very young, it was grafted into a peach tree root. Why? Because the peach is a relative of an almond. Have you ever broken open a peach pit? Sure you have. What do you see? You see an almond, an almond. They're related. And they graft an almond twig onto a peach root for two reasons. One is the peach is a sweeter fruit. The raw almond is bitter. But when it is grafted onto a peach root, it becomes much sweeter. And you love the taste of almonds. You know, almonds are put into all kinds of things. Candy bars, the Almond Joy. And you've got all kinds of almonds. The Dutch people love to make banquette. The inside of a banquette is almond paste. It's wonderful tasting. They get that taste from the peach to which it was engrafted. The second reason for grafting is that a peach is a stronger plant, a stronger tree against the winds. So for those two reasons, the peach is sweeter and it's stronger. And so they graft the almond twig into a peach root and it grows. And you look over the acres and acres and acres of almond groves, and just above the ground you will see where the graft was. There it is. Now, what happens with a Christian, with a child of God? We are engrafted into the root, which is Jesus Christ. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. How do we get into Him? We are engrafted into Him. How are we engrafted into Him? We're engrafted by the power of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. We are grafted into Jesus Christ. And we draw from Him all of His blessings and benefits. The Catechism mentions a few. We are grafted into Him and draw from Him the forgiveness of sins, everlasting righteousness, and salvation. That's what we receive from the root, which is Jesus Christ. That's why the author to the Hebrews says, without faith you cannot be pleasing to God. But he that comes to God must believe that He is. And He rewards those who seek Him. You see, we are grafted into the Lord Jesus, and through Him we receive all of His benefits out of pure 100% grace. It's not of works, not of works, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, grafted into Him. And that is God's work. Salvation is of the Lord. But it's also a demand for us. Salvation is also a command. We have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to repent of our sins. But even that repenting is the work of the Holy Spirit. He is the one who leads us to have sorrow for sin. He's the one that draws us to the cross. He's the one that brings forth new life from dead hearts. Ezekiel, the prophet of old, was taught this in a dramatic way. The Lord led Ezekiel to a high hill, and He said, "Look over that valley." And that valley was filled with bones, and behold, they were very dry. And the Lord said to Ezekiel, "Can those bones live?" And Ezekiel said, "Oh Lord, only You know." So the Lord said to Ezekiel, "Prophesy over those bones with the word of the Lord." And Ezekiel prophesied over the bones, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move in those dead bones. And the bones came together, them dry bones. You know the beautiful African-American spiritual, them dry bones. They heard the word of the Lord. That's what salvation is. We hear the word of the Lord, and the dry bones, which are us, are made alive by the Spirit of God. And we're given faith, true faith, to lay hold upon Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the great yes of the Lord. Every promise of God finds its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. He is the yes. And you know what our response is? Our response is amen. The yes is the Lord's word in Jesus Christ, and our response is amen. You got it. I believe it. And that settles it. And we say, yes, that's it. That's what true faith is laying hold on Jesus. That's what Noah did. How do you think Abraham lived? He lived by faith. God said to Abraham, "Up, get out of where you are, go to the country, I'll show you." So he went. He went by faith. Sarah had no children. They were married a long time. No children. She said, "Abraham, why don't you raise a child through my servant Hagar?" So he did, and Ishmael was born. But Sarah didn't have a child. And the Lord said, "Sarah, a year from now you're going to have a child." And she laughed. And the Lord said, "A year from now you'll have a child." And Abraham was 99 and his wife was 90. Long past childbearing years. And by faith, Sarah received a child. By faith, Abraham conceived the child in Sarah. By faith. That was the only way. It was impossible. But by faith, all things are possible. You see, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. This is absolutely. Do you have this faith? Do you know this Savior? "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." There is no condemnation to those in Christ. And so the gospel comes to us clear. True faith. And the benefits are the forgiveness of sins, everlasting righteousness, and salvation. Do you believe? This is the call. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And everyone said, Amen.